Should I do it? No. Bam. Okay, I did it. All right, people. So I have to issue like a worldwide apology because we have sucked as podcast releasers the last, what, I think it's 2 weeks now?
Yeah,
2 weeks now, and I missed a Monday. So Jen is not here with us because Jen bought a house, okay, and her life is just disheveled at the moment with her trying to, you know, get into her new house and do all that kind of stuff. And then my chaotic existence is just my chaotic existence. But we went through some like serious trauma. So hubby's here. He's on the other end of the line. He's not going to contribute much content today. And our episode will probably only be like a half hour, if that. Right, we're gonna go for like a little bit shorter episodes, hopefully, because we have show season coming up. We are like literally ready to roll out within like the next week. And yeah, I know everybody else has started and we're late as usual. I'm always late, but we're literally cramming an entire show season into what I say it was like
six weeks.
Okay, yeah. So I'm cramming an entire show season into 6 weeks with five brand new horses, and every horse that I own at the moment is going into a new division. So even if they have shown with me before, they're still like going into a new division. So, you know, the stress level is a little bit high, but I have faith in like my horses that I've trained and stuff like that. So I feel like we'll be okay. And that's a big part of the reason why I haven't sent them out into the show ring, because I'm like, they weren't like quite ready for the beginning of this season. They just weren't like quite there. We had only had them for like 6-7 months. I think the longest one I had was like 8 months. And I was just like, I don't know about this. I don't know if it's a good idea to send them out.
No, those were winter months too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Cause we got them last like summer.
Yeah, so
and so they went in through the fall and the winter. So I was just like, I don't know if this is like the best idea in the whole world to just send them out at the beginning of the season, and you know, I'd like them to be prepared, but that's not the reason why we missed last week. So the reason why we missed last week is because we had like a tragedy, and like it's a serious tragedy, and I'm really sad about it. And I wasn't gonna talk about it, but you know me, and I always say I'm not gonna talk about it, and then I have to talk about it. And our poor like beloved Moose, who you guys, I feel like you haven't gotten to hear me talk about him much because he's like one of those unsung heroes, as corny as it sounds. We use him in the lesson program. He's an intermediate to advanced like lesson horse. He was just like the big old goober that if I had a kid and the kid was being really friggin' lazy and just making me mad, I'd throw him on Moose. He was like the punishment horse, right? So like the poor guy, which I feel so bad. And I don't say he was the punishment horse because, like, he was naughty. He wasn't. But, like, if you weren't doing it right, he's not going to do it for you. But we lost him. And I don't know.
Oh, we didn't, like, physically.
No, he passed away. So
he didn't run away.
He didn't run off, and I just stopped looking for him. He passed away on us. So, and I try to put that, like, nicely. And every time I say he passed away, all I think of is if anybody listens to this, is the episode of Roseanne where Jackie's trying to tell people that her dad or her aunt that her dad has died. And she's like, and the lady can't hear her. And she's on the phone. She's like, he has passed away.
Dad's dead.
Dad's dead. And then the lady still can't hear. And at the end, he's like, she's fine. He's fine. He sends his love. And she hangs up the phone and she's like all disheveled. So I have a very morbid way of processing
loss.
Death and loss and all that. And I don't know why I'm like that. And the way I do it is I have to make jokes. I'm not one to like sit there and cry. I'm just not. That's not me. Like it will never be me. I miss him dearly. Now, the other hard part about this is, and somebody might like listen to this and be like, you are so fucking dumb. Like, you know, they might think I'm so stupid. I only had him for like 4 months. Okay, he was actually given to me, and he was like a freebie pretty much that another lesson program was nice enough to be like, we don't need him anymore. And he's not happy doing a bunch of lessons. So like if you want him as a trail horse and if you want him as like a lesson here and there horse, then you can have him. So I took him, and that's literally what we used him for.
He filled a hole.
Yeah. Like, you know, on a week where, say, we double stack lessons or I'm just like short a horse. I mean, he lived here for 4 months and he did 6 lessons total. So people are probably going to listen to this and hear that and be like, how the fuck do you miss him? But you know what? I really do miss him. Like, he was one of those horses, and I don't know if this is me being stupid and corny and acting like I'm living the Saddle Club dream, like, you know, that stupid TV show, The Saddle Club, that I grew up watching. I don't know if that is, if that's like in the back of my head, but he was a horse that the day he got off the trailer, he just fit right in. Like, he was so simple. He was so easy. He, like, got along with everybody. He went outside. He could live inside. He could live outside. He did not care. The biggest requirement he had it is he needed a fly mask when he went outside. I mean, he was fine. He would torture those kids because he was, like, so... I'm not going to call him dead-sided because, like, he wasn't. But he knew it was a kid. And he was like, come on, kid, make me.
Yeah. Be on your A game.
Yeah, like, if you ain't going to cue me, I ain't going to do it. But, I mean, he was impeccably trained, but not by me. And I was really proud to have him. I was really proud that he was offered to me. I was really proud that he was given to me. And he had a seizure, and he had passed away. And it was a horrible experience, by the way. And this was an emergency, obviously, and it happened at like the worst time ever. So we had horse camp on Saturday and Sunday, and the kids went home at 3:30, I believe, on Sunday, and he had his seizure at 5. So thank God the kids were gone, or they would have gotten an experience that I did not want them to have. But he had his like seizure at 5, and it took his like sight, like he went completely blind. So he had one seizure as I was actually bringing him in from the pasture, and he was just uncontrollable. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't my fault.
The lights turned off.
He had a seizure, and he just could not contain himself. And I don't know if I've just been lucky, but I've never seen anything like that. Personally, I've seen horrible things. Like, we had, like, Itty, my one mare, customer mare, she had jumped on a T-post when I first moved to Texas, and it was out in the field, and you know, she had jumped on a T-post and it went through her armpit and out her chest, and she came back off of it, and, you know, we had to drain it and actually teach her how to walk again because it severed the muscle to her leg. But so I've seen grotesque things, right? Like, I've seen, you know, a T-post go in. I've seen a horse cut themselves from middle of the chest to, you know, the back of their leg. I've seen broken legs. I've seen gross things. I've never seen like neurological, I guess, yeah. I would say, where he was coming in and out of, I don't know if you'd call it consciousness or whatever. He was so hot and he was so sweaty. And obviously this is a Sunday, so it's an emergency call for the vet, right? And my personal vet that I love and adore and I would not change her for the world was on freaking vacation.
Yeah, what are the odds?
So, like, and she never leaves. She never goes on vacation. She never leaves. I literally
a much deserved vacation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, she's the world's most incredible vet. And I had, like, her scheduled to come out to do shots on Wednesday. Like, on Wednesday. So I'm going to tell this story, and I'm not going to name names or anything like that. But this really has eaten at me over the last week. And this is honestly why I didn't do an episode about this right away. This is why we missed an episode, because I don't think I could process the amount of incompetence that happened on that Sunday. Okay. I really don't feel as though I could process it and verbalize it. And you know what? Maybe I still can't. And somebody's listening to this and being like, you whiny bitch. Like, it's fine. Just be happy the vet came out for you.
If you want to call her that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine. But I called, right? My vet was out of town, and she said, oh, I have somebody on call for me, somebody that you don't know, somebody that you've never had, but call her and have her come out because she's working all my cases pretty much. So I'm like, okay. So I'm freaking out, right? And I am freaking out. I'm not crying or hysterical or anything, but inside, I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm going to be fully honest. I don't know it all. And at this very moment, I didn't know if it was a seizure. I didn't know if he just went blind. I didn't know if he like whacked his head on something. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know what the hell was going on. So I call her, and I called her right at 5 o'clock because we brought him in. I called her right at 5 o'clock.
I'll never forget. It was 4:54.
Yeah. So I called her right at 5 o'clock and I said, I have this horse here. He's definitely blind because he just could not see. I mean, you'd let him go and he'd be hitting his head on walls. It was just not a nice situation. And I said, he's definitely blind. He's definitely freaking out. And I've never felt a horse this hot, right? So when you would touch him or, you know, hold him, because I had to hold him, it would literally feel like you had your hand over like a burner on the stove. I've never felt an animal or a person this hot, like so hot. And he was just dripping sweat. And I said, I don't know what's going on. This is definitely an emergency. I know for a fact he's blind. I know for a fact, you know, we did the eye test, you know, moved the hands and everything, or moved our hand towards his eye and everything and no reaction. And
he was just trying to find walls or anything to lean on.
So then I got he had a halter on. So then I grabbed both sides of his halter pretty much and just held his chest inside, like onto my chest. And I just held him there and he was comfortable there because I feel like he knew like, okay, like somebody's here. I'm safe because, you know, he just wasn't handling it well. So 1 hour goes by. And she's still not here. She's still not there. Now, at this point, he is shaking. He is trembling. He's starting to lose his ability to kind of stand. And I call her again and I say, are you close, please? Like, where are you? Because, like, this is not good. He's going downhill. And I said, I believe this is a euthanasia situation. This is what I believe, because Moose was also older, okay? And his condition was deteriorating and he was so hot and stuff like that. And I asked her, is there anything I can do for him? Is there anything I can give him? You know, should I give him sedative? Like, what should I do for him? Banamine, anything. And then he started to like foam at the mouth while I was on the phone with her and while I was holding his head. And he started to just like shake uncontrollably and just have like serious issues going in and out of consciousness, leaning over like he was going to fall down, everything. I mean,
maybe even going in and out of like seizures too.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that's
like more neurological stuff is happening.
I mean, we tried to get him to lay down. We couldn't get him to lay down. We tried to get him out of the stall into the arena. We couldn't get him to do that. It was just a terrible situation. So when I told her that I believe this is a euthanasia situation and can she please, please, please hurry, her response to me was, well, I see already you are not willing to learn how to take care of a blind horse.
She obviously didn't know who she was talking to.
Now, instantly, well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that because, you know what? Maybe somebody would have kept him alive. I don't know. All I know is she did not see the situation, number one. She did not know me, number two. And instead of just hurrying her friggin' ass up and getting to my barn and then saying, well, we can fix this and all this kind of stuff, she just proceeded to like berate me and basically say I wasn't willing to learn how to take care of a blind horse. Which, honest to God, if he would have been fine blind, I would have let him be blind for the rest of his life and he could have lived out in a pasture and never did anything again. I wouldn't have cared. He would have had a home here for the rest of his life. I truly adored that horse, even though I only had him for like 4 months. But what bothered me was the state of his body. He could not sustain himself. He was a mess. Something else was wrong. So that was an hour in, and I'm sitting there with him, and his condition is deteriorating to the point that I now have his head in my chest and I'm leaned up against the wall and he is just pinning me to the wall for support. And, you know, we would try to get him to lay down and he was just a fighter. He would not lay down. We sedated him. He would not lay down. You know, I sedated him within the realm that I felt comfortable and he just still would not lay down. And, you know, at one point in time, as mean as it sounds, somebody was like, well, he's suffering. Like it's just a terrible situation. Like, I don't, maybe you should take matters into your own hands. And I was like, well, that's never going to happen because that ain't me. And I don't have the heart to do that.
This isn't the Wild West.
It's not the Wild West in my barn, you know? And so I was like, no, we're just going to wait for the vet. So now hour two comes along and I'm still waiting on her. And I, at this point, I am like furious in all honesty. And I'm not like a Karen. Like, I'm really not. I'm not one to complain about a vet. I thank my vets and farriers religiously. I pay my bills right on time. Like, I am not one to be like, I'm not that person that's like a farrier comes and does your job. And then you say, well, can I have a multi-horse discount? That's not me. Like, I've never complained about my vet, like my current vet ever. Like, she's fantastic. And I've had her for years. And so this, I started to get a little mad. So I mean, I'll be honest. I did call again and say, like, pretty much like, what are you doing? Like, my horse is sitting here and he is suffering, like full on suffering. And I really need you to be here. Like, I really need you to get here. This is not a nice situation for him to go through. He was petrified even through all the sedation and whatever was going on, and he was just, it was just horrid. Like, it was the most horrible experience ever. She waltzed into my barn 3 hours after our first phone call.
After saying she was an hour out.
Yeah. And she brought a helper, which, fine, you know, I understand. And she proceeded to look at a horse that was stumbling, falling, to the point that we couldn't open the stall door because every ounce of his weight was pressed up against it. So she stuffed her arms through the bars before, like, doing any form of exam and sedating him again. And that did nothing. He didn't lay down. We couldn't get him off the door. Nothing.
He was practically out on his feet
at that point. He was out on his feet. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to, like, judge anybody, but she looked at me and she said, couldn't this wait until you had your appointment with your regular vet on Wednesday, sorry. And I turned and looked at her and I said, does it look like we could have waited? Does it look like we could have waited? He is going in and out of seizures. He is having some serious issues. And then her response to me on that was, well, no, it is definitely an emergency, but I don't like to perform euthanasias.
Oh, must be nice.
I was, like, horrified. Like, I was just like so disgusted at that at that very moment. I was just absolutely horrified. And I get that no one likes to do euthanasias. You don't like it. This is my horse. I don't like it either. Like, no one likes it. But for the sake of the animal, like, you got to do what you got to do.
You're a vet.
Yeah, this is a job you signed up for.
You chose to be a large animal vet.
So then she proceeds to tell me, which, and this is where somebody's going to come after me. She proceeds to tell me, she is afraid to get into the corner with him. That I was standing, by the way. She is afraid to get into the corner with him because she doesn't want him to go down on, like, fall down on her. Which, okay, understandable. But you are a veterinarian. I've been around all over the place. She had no plan. She had no way of getting him out of this corner. So he was in a position where she was no longer afraid of him. So after about 20 minutes of standing there, after sedating him another time, and he's just purely suffering, she says, let's wait and see if he will lay down. I said, I have been trying to get him to lay down for 3 hours. He is not going to lay down. You need to give him the shot. You just have to give him the shot. You just have to. And she's like, okay, fine. And she's like, but I have to sew in a catheter line because this is just what I have to do. This is how I do it. And I was like, okay, whatever. After 11 tries, and this is not me trying to like dog her, but this horse is in severe pain and he's not moving. Like, he's not moving. He's just shaking and heavy breathing and pouring sweat. I mean, he filled 6 towels, just sweat, soaked with sweat in 3 hours. Well, at like 3.5 hours at this point. And she took her, what'd I say, like 11 tries, I think we counted.
Yeah. I mean,
for her to get the
like, we had like people there to like even back like anything up. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was an unreasonable amount of
tries like, for a horse that wasn't moving, right? So then she puts the catheter line in and she sews it into his neck, which maybe that is normal practice. Maybe it is. I've seen a handful of horses euthanized and I've never seen them do that. Maybe that is normal practice. I'm not sure. I'm not going to, you know, talk about that because that is, I'm ignorant on that subject. I don't know. Maybe that's how they're supposed to do it. My vets from all over the country, you know, all the way from Texas to here, I've never seen that done that way. But that's fine. So after she sews it in, she turns and looks at me and says, well, that doesn't look right, does it? I was like, I don't know. I am not the vet. I've never seen it. And I proceeded to tell her, I have never seen anyone sew in a catheter line to euthanize a horse. Usually they just
do it.
That's all I know. So she says, okay. So she flushed it or whatever the hell she had to do and you know, got blood back. So obviously it was in the vein. And she proceeded to, you know, give him the blue juice. And he went down like a ton of bricks. I mean, he was exhausted. He suffered. He literally suffered for 3.5 hours at her hands, in my opinion. And I get it. Like, you know, vets can't drop everything. But she told me she was 1 hour out. That's what she told me. She told me she would be there within an hour. And this was 3.5 hours later. This horse suffered for an extra 2.5 hours. And he didn't deserve that.
And I think what makes it worse is, over the course of that 2.5 hours, how bad it got in that 2.5 hours.
Yes. I didn't think he was going to make it to actually see her.
I thought he'd be dead by the time she got there.
Mm-hmm. And I have just been so, honest to God, I'm not upset. I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off because he was a good horse. And I'm not saying any horse deserves that, but like, he was a good one. You know, there's some rank son of a bitches out there that, you know, if that has to happen to somebody, maybe it should happen to them kind. And he was not that. I mean, he took care of them kids. He was a love. He was dearly loved to the point that this was after camp. Now, my workers had worked camp 2 days in a row, did their normal job. Then we were supposed to have a lesson after camp. So I had a group lesson. So I had probably six, seven people. I was going to say eight, but I think 6 or 7 people here that customers-wise and worker-wise that were going to be doing a group lesson, you know, because we're showing. And they all stayed. That's how much people loved him. Like, I don't know how else to put it. He wasn't just a horse out in the field that no one knew about. Everybody in this barn knew Moose. Every single horse. Every single person. He might have been a horse that was here for like a couple months, but he was very valued and loved.
Yeah, he made an impact.
A huge impact. I mean, kids just loved him. I mean,
the day before at camp, they were all loving on him in the pasture.
Yeah, I mean, it was a joke. It was like a running joke that, like, whoever drew Moose to ride in a lesson, if he was a part of that lesson, then they were going to get their butts kicked. But the kids liked that in a way, because then when they accomplished something on him, they knew they did it right, you know? But I mean, and maybe I'm rambling on the subject, but that is honest to God the reason why I just could not put an episode out for you guys, because we usually do them on Sunday. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it, because if I would have did it, I would have come a lot more angry than I am now. And I'm still angry. I'm not going to be like one of those people that are like, I'm scarred and trauma. Because no, and I get like shit happens.
Yeah, it's not like we're going to call her work and like no, try to never, have a job.
Or never. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to go that far. I'm just disappointed. Okay, like I'm so disappointed that he was such a good, good horse that he had to like suffer that way. I don't feel like he deserved that. And in that moment, I was extremely angry, like extremely angry at her. And you know, after a little bit of time, that anger kind of, I'm not gonna say it wore off. I mean, I definitely don't want her in a strenuous situation ever again, right. But I'm not going to
don't let her take your blood.
Oh dear God. I'm not, I've got scarring in both my what are these, armpits? No, not armpits. What the hell are they called? Elbow pits. I got scarring in both my elbow pits because I don't know if anybody knows this, but years ago when I was 16 or 15 or 16, I don't remember, I came off a horse and I had to be like mercy flighted. And I was put in it like in an induced coma. So where you take blood from me is super scarred. So because they had to put huge like tubes in my arms to keep me in like an induced coma on the helicopter ride. But besides the point, not that, you know, this was a dark episode, but no. So it just infuriated me that such a good horse had to go out in such a shitty way. So I just felt as though I couldn't give you guys an episode because I wanted to talk about it. That's my exact topic that I wanted to talk about today. Well, like last week, but I was just angry. I was just very mad that situation had to happen. And I get it. There's probably some old cowboys out there that are just going to be like, shut up. Like, you're fine. Should have took him out back and shot him. Like, all that kind of stuff if you didn't want him to suffer and stuff like that. But, maybe I'm just lucky and I haven't been put in that situation a lot. And now I've learned from, like, that situation and stuff. But overall, I have to honestly, and I didn't tell any of them this, and this is terrible. I have to thank every single one of my girls, because every single one of my girls stood there for 4 hours making sure that I had whatever I needed, that every resource was met, including Jen. Jen was there because we were going to record the episode.
Yep.
And I mean, Jen was like, I'm calling another vet and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, which, like, you know what? That's the first time in my whole life, in my entire life, aside from Abby and Amy, that my customers just, they weren't leaving. I told them they could leave probably 6 times. They sat there and they were not leaving. They were not leaving that horse. They were not leaving me. They showed like real dedication. And as corny and as stupid as it's going to sound, I've never had that in a customer base before, ever. I've never, ever had that in a customer base. And I thought, you know what? Like, look what I built. Like in that horrible moment, I just thought to myself, like, look at these motherfuckers, like these loyal ass people, like just good people, right? Like people that will just have your back no matter what. And we've made a ton of changes to, well, I've made, not we. I mean, I guess we, because it's by design of, you know, who fits into our group of people. And maybe people call us a clique. I don't know. I feel as though we're friendly until you do something for us not to be friendly to you. But we have asked, you know, several people to leave within the last couple years that just didn't fit, or they, you know, they were causing trouble, or, you know, the drama and stuff like that. And you know what, to some people, maybe we're drama, I don't know, but the main group of us, we just go together, this group of people. And I don't know why we go together. I don't know how we found each other. We're a bunch of friggin' misfits that don't know shit. That for some odd reason, these girls trust me and are like, Dana's got it. And I have to say thank you to them. I really do. Because in a horrible situation, without them really having to do anything other than just stand there and help, I honestly have to say they got us through it, and we were able to keep like our humor. And I have a sick morbid sense of humor, and I know I do. And they didn't shy away at me. That's just the way I process things. And I mean, we're like the whole group of us, we're all different, but you know, it was really nice. Like, it was just a really nice thing. And I feel a little guilty because I didn't thank any of those girls. Like, I just thought of that as I was sitting here. I don't think I thanked any of them for helping and offering to help and just sitting there and getting mad with me. Because, I mean, they were all just as mad as I was. And it was, like, at that moment that I was like, you know what? Like, if anything were to ever happen. Here, I'm so corny. But if anything were to ever happen, I genuinely feel like my girls in this barn love my horses almost as much as I do, except for Iceman. Everybody hates Iceman. If I die, somebody's just got to put Iceman down and put him in the ground next to me. That's just got to be what happens. I feel like the only one that would even somewhat deal with Iceman if something happened to me would be poor Andrea, and he would just beat the living hell out of her. He would just beat her up all the time. He's so mean. But yeah, and
it's crazy, like, something so terrible, like, brought a group, like, even, like, closer.
Yeah. I mean, like, Banner had passed away on Julia, and that was hard, because that was her guy. You know, that was her life. But he was old, and you knew it was coming, and he was losing weight, and he couldn't hold weight, and he was losing teeth. Teeth were coming out of his head, and he was eating mash, and he wasn't digesting things properly, and, you know, he had 6 or 7 vets. Visits before he actually passed away, you know. So like, we knew it was coming with Banner. This was just spontaneous. It was just like a spontaneous, like, flip of the switch, and a horrible thing happened, and it did, like you said, it brought us all a lot closer together. And I don't know in any other barn I've been in if those people would have stayed. And maybe I've just been in shit barns before or had selfish customers. I don't know. I don't want to call anybody selfish.
No, because it's hard to sit there and watch that.
That's what I mean. Like, I have some badass people in my barn. Like, we are just, we're just different,
built,
I guess.
Built different.
Yeah, we're just different. And I appreciate that they're just different like me. And that's just, like, how it is. Now, on a lighter note, are we ready? So I am so excited because I have gotten 3 people that want to come to, like, the horse shows and, like, see me. Like, who the fuck wants to see me? What the hell? Why would you want to see me? I'm so glad that somebody wants to come and see me, and I'm going to make new friends. So I feel like I'm going to pre-K. Like, mama's telling me I'm going to make some new friends. So I'm, like, so excited about it. But we talked about this. I have been anxiety ridden, not over meeting new people, but I have been anxiety ridden over the idea that I have to, like, introduce, because, like, one of the girls, and I love her. Oh my gosh, I love her. But one of the girls was like, I literally feel like we know you because, like, we listen to you every week and you're funny and you're this and you're that. And I feel like I know all the girls because you talk about them and stuff. And I feel like I know all the horses. And I'm so anxiety ridden that they're going to get there and I'm going to be such a disappointment. And I may be such a disappointment. I don't know. This is me. This is who I am. And everybody has been telling me, and including Jen. Jen's like, you are definitely not a disappointment. You are the life of a freaking party. So, like, I don't know if that's true, though. I kind of just don't want to be a disappointment, like, at all. And then my jerk of a husband decides he is going to sign me up for the ultimate fairgoer competition.
Yeah.
What the hell am I supposed to? I'm going to be so.
I had to write an essay. I had to include. I included pictures.
Listen, I've been attending this fair since before. Erie County Fair. Before I was born. Erie County Fair since before I was born. So they have lost. Pretty much lost every A rating, every anything for the horse show, right? So now it's just like a little tiny open show. But to me, it's the fair. Like, I don't care if I'm showing a $100,000 horse at the fair, because that's the fair. And that's my favorite place in the entire freaking world. Like, aside from Christmas, because I am a Christmas nut, the fair is it for me. Like, that is my heaven on earth, okay? Aside from a horse show, aside from Christmas, then it's the fair. But I have attended every single fair. Even when we lived in Texas, I would make Ian drive me up for 12 days and sleep in the fair, like in a camper in the fair. Even though I didn't have a horse there, I would I would buy a camper pass like I had a horse there. And then I would help all my friends show their horses. I would be like a free groom slash trainer, even if they didn't want me. And I would like hang around them and I would be like, listen, I'm going to be your trainer for the fair, even if you have another trainer. And I'm just going to hang out. And you know what? I don't need to tell you anything other than like your diagonals. I don't care. Or your leads. Like, I don't care. But I need a reason to sleep at the fair. So the one year we slept at the fair, oh my God, people, we slept in a pop-up camper. And I brought my dogs because, you know, I'm me and I have a million dogs and I'm like, they gotta go. Like, what am I supposed to do with my dogs? They're going. So one of them was a puppy, like a cute little puppy. And I'm sleeping in this shit pop-up camper because, you know, we couldn't afford anything back then. And we had just moved to Texas. It was the first year after we moved to Texas. So we were like broke from building the barn and doing all that kind of stuff. And we slept in my dad's like shitty pop-up camper. And we were sleeping. We were sound asleep. Morning was coming. Birds were chirping. Sun was rising. The horse show was starting. We heard people hustling and bustling. And all of a sudden, my fucking dog fell out of the friggin' from the bed where the...
The canvas wraps around the bed.
Bloop. She fell right out. She rolled over and fell right out onto the parking lot.
Now, mind you, this dog is deaf.
She is deaf. Yeah. She has double Merle gene, so she has what white fright. So not only is she deaf, but she's very nearsighted also. So
yeah, blind deaf dog running.
Blind deaf dog running around the fair. So she plooped out, bloop, like fell onto the pavement from pretty high up. Like it was awful.
Good 5 feet.
Like plop down on the ground. She's tough as nails though. She's fine. And she starts running to the horse show ring because like at home We're in the ring. We're like showing all the time. So she's like, oh, I'll just go to the ring. So she starts heading up to the ring and I have to proceed to like jump out of the camper and run after her. Now I'm sleeping. Like I ain't got no like bra on or like nothing.
It's like 8 in the morning.
Sleep till 8 in the morning at a horse show. Listen to you. Trying to make me sound lazy. I think sun was coming up. So I think it was like 6:30.
Yeah.
Lying.
Eight in the morning.
No, it wasn't. But the show would have been started. She would have been in the horse show.
You'd have been in the beer tent the night before.
No, I've never. You know, that's one thing. I've never, ever, ever, ever gone in the beer tent.
And you want to be the ultimate fairgoer.
They're going to be upset with me. Last year's lady that won the ultimate fairgoer has a tattoo on her arm that says the 12 best days of summer.
That's the motto for the Erie County Fair.
It is. So, like, what do I got to do? And it's on her arm and it's big.
Listen, if that essay I wrote doesn't win you that contest.
Listen, people, my mom cried when Ian read the essay and then Ian cried when he wrote the essay.
I did.
Because of Alfred. We retired. Good old Alfred, the hero, the one that made me. We retired him at the Erie County Fair in 2019, right?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have one. Yeah, they didn't have one in 2020. But, I mean, that's besides the point. So my poor dog poops out of the camper. Starts running up to the ring. I bust out of the trailer, running like a crazy woman. I don't even know if I had shoes on. I don't remember. I know stuff was flopping everywhere. And I'm like yelling. Her name's Kalia.
Yelling at a deaf dog.
Yeah. And Ian always tells me that. He's like, you're yelling at a deaf dog. And I'm yelling, Kalia, Kalia. Or as Ian likes to call her, Leah with a K. So I'm like yelling at her. And she can't hear me, obviously. So she stops dead because she realizes, like, we're not at home and this is not our outdoor ring. She stops dead. She turns around. I'm, like, waving my arms at her. She comes. She runs back and we put her in the camper. So it ended up not being...
very anticlimactic.
It was very anticlimactic, but I mean, it was just mortifying that I slept in this bunky ass camper and she fell out of the damn thing.
That's how much you love the fair.
That's how much I love the fair. I was willing to sleep in this. You know, when you think about that, somebody could have just reached their hand up and in there. If she fell out the hole,
right.
It was a hole. It was like flapping all night. That's mortifying.
Yeah, someone could have reached
somebody could have probably stuck their whole head in there. She was a big dog.
Yeah, or reached up and maybe honked your boob.
Oh my God, I would have died. I would have died. I would have been assaulted. Like, I don't feel like that's safe.
Not at the fair.
No, no one would assault me at the fair. The fair is a wholesome place. How dare you? But, so yeah, so that's the stressors in my life. I have horse shows coming up. One of my favorite horses passed away. I had a shit vet. I'm going to say it. Shit vet. I'm not going to go around and say her name and, you know, dog her or say, this is where I go to vent. So if anybody's like, well, if you're putting it on here, you're going to be telling everybody. I'm really not. This is just where I go to vent. And then I have this fair competition coming up that, you know what? As much people as I would love to say I don't want it because it is so ridiculous, I want it. As much as I would love to say I don't.
You get a sash. Press conference with the news.
As much as I would love to say, like, this is not something I want.
You get the glory.
Why would you do this to me and get all, like, upset? I really want to be the ultimate fair goer.
Yeah, I think you deserve it.
I mean, I don't think I deserve shit. God's given me enough. Like, God has graced me with 30, enough.
This is your 31st year of going to the Erie County Fair every single day.
Well, no, you got to listen. I was at the fair when I was in my mama's belly.
32nd year.
Yeah, well, I mean, for as long as she's been alive, I've been one of her eggs. So
51 years at sorry the fair. To age your mom.
Yeah, 51 years at the fair. 51 years. No, well, I don't think she went to the fair as a young child. I feel like when she met my dad was when she started going. I could be wrong.
It's 51 years.
We're just gonna say 51 years. That's it. I mean, I don't know. I've been there every single year for a long time, but maybe there's somebody else that's more deserving. Like if I beat out somebody that has like a horrible disease or something, I'm going to feel terrible. Like, what about like a poor little kid? Like, I mean, I guess they'll have their time. I've put in 30 years at the fair.
Listen.
How are you the ultimate fair going? You're only 5. That ain't going to work.
Right.
Ridiculous. But
this, what it is.
This is my stressors, people. So root for me. Make me the ultimate fair goer. No one cares.
I don't think you can even vote. It's in the committee's hands at this point.
I know the essays, and no one can do anything for me. If there's a fair,
people can keep nominating.
Well, not just that, but if there's a fair committee member that listens to
maybe I'll drop a link on the
to my thing. Wink, wink.
On their Facebook page.
Winky, winky. I give riding lessons. Do you have children? Like, bribe them. Did you see that redneck horsemanship? Did you see that?
I saw part of it.
Where the girl was like smoking and stuff. It was so funny. She bent over and threw the 20 out of her boobs. So one of the little open shows around here, a shout out. I'm going to shout them out, even though I have no reason to shout them out. But, you know, I love open shows. I think it's called Enchanted Mountains Show.
Yeah.
And in September, they're going to do that.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're going to have it.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
So part of me wants to go to an open show, but we have regional. So I don't know when their open show is for us to maybe go. Because who could I take? I could take Iceman, because every time I show Iceman in hand, he lets his weenie hang out. What's more redneck than that? What's
more redneck than a dong?
Letting it all hang out. Letting it all hang out. And him, I could dress up and stuff. But all right, people, what's our time here? Ooh, we went longer than I thought. I can talk all by myself. So now we know poor Jen's just sitting there letting me talk her ear off. All right, people, we love you. We thank you. And I don't know how this is possible, but we are still growing, even though I missed an episode. Like, I don't know how we're still growing. I just got more likes on the page today, and I can't thank everybody enough that writes in and likes me and that wants to meet me. And if you are one of the people that wrote in and want to meet me, the best I can promise you is if you come to see us at Cat Fair, we'll have cotton candy, because I'm making the hubby bring the cotton candy machine.
That's so
hopefully if my personality disappoints you, if my looks disappoint you.
Well, when you're over with sweets.
I'll sweeten you up. That's the best I can do. All right, people. So thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking by us, even though I missed an episode from a traumatic event. And we will see you all next week. And I will be on top of my game, even stressed out and crazier than ever.
Rest in peace, Moose.
Rest in peace to my Moosey Bear. We loved him. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.